Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Live Up to Freedom on FPC Radio, hosted by Inez Annie Cyrus.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Live Up to Freedom program on FPC Network. My name is Inez Annie Cyrus. I will be your host tonight. I will go over a short bio of myself, just in case if you do not know me or you're not familiar with my work. I was born and raised in the Islamic Republic of Iran. I lived there for 15 years, and I escaped my country and came to Turkey, went through process of legal immigration, and then moved to United States of America. I was never a Muslim, but I was raised a Muslim because by law of my country, Islamic Republic of Iran, when you're born, you're automatically a Muslim, and law says that you have to leave as a Muslim. So I was pretty much taught Islam, and I escaped it. I pretended to be a Muslim. I did what I was supposed to do to survive. And when I came out, I decided to help others. For non-Muslims, I try to educate them so they know what Islam is, the reality of it, because there are so many lies out there about Islam and Muslims that trick people to believing that Islam is a religion, and more specifically, it's a religion of peace. So my mission for last 10 years has been to educate everyone who doesn't know the reality about Islam, and trying to show the real face of it, which is not a religion, but an ideology. There are many Islamic countries. There are so many Muslims out there, and I do always hear the argument that there are millions and millions of peaceful Muslims out there. Before I get to what I'd like to talk about today, I will try to establish a point to where I always say there is no such a thing as good Muslims or moderate Muslim as a term that is used nowadays. There's just one type of Muslim, and that's a type that we see in ISIS, Islamic Republic of Iran's government, Muslim Brotherhood, and so on and so forth. The peaceful Muslims that we hear about or are our neighbors or we know of, they are called Muslim, but they're not in reality of the Quran a real Muslim, because by Quran, you're only a believer or a Muslim if you follow the Quran word by word. And if you're peaceful and if you're friendly to non-believers, then automatically you are not a Muslim by the book, because there are many verses in Quran, which I will refer to a few of them, that tells a believer, which means a Muslim, that should not take non-believers as friends and should try to convert them. If not successful, kill them until the day there are no more left. So I hope this would establish the point that we do not need to argue over the fact of there are moderate Muslims, there are Muslims who are peaceful, because they might be called Muslim, But in reality of the word, the meaning, they are not. I just wanted to get that out of the way. And one more important thing is, please remember, I am not a Muslim. I am not an ex-Muslim either. I have never been a Muslim. I was just raised in a country ruled by Sharia law and Islam. There's another argument that so-called Muslims make, that Islam has been hijacked. So most of the time what you hear from me comes from Quran itself. Now, I didn't read Quran in translation of English or any other language, so it might be a little more difficult for them to argue the fact that I am misunderstanding Quran, because when you grow up in an Islamic country, it's mandatory for you to learn Arabic. It's part of your school, and you do not have a choice. You have to learn Arabic, and when you learn Arabic, you are forced to read Quran in original language, which is Arabic. And then, in order to help you understand it better, let's say in my country, which the language is Farsi, there are books written by leaders, more specifically supreme leader, that explains the laws and rules of Sharia law within Quran. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that I do actually know what I'm talking about, and I do know for a fact Islam was not hijacked. 1,394 years ago, Islam started, and to this day, it's the same thing. And what it's about is hate and more hate. It does teach love, but it teaches it toward your Muslim brothers. And please listen to this part. It's a key part. Muslim brothers. The reason I say it's very important is one of the biggest matters that I try to fight for is that in Islam, women don't have any rights. Mainly they count as half a human. And I always say that on every program, either radio, video, TV, anywhere I go, I mention that because that is huge. If you think about it for a second, if you understand the fact that a woman counts as a half of a person in an ideology, or if you like to call it a religion, that would automatically give you the hint that it's not a good idea to want to follow it, step into it, let it come to any other culture. By Quran, word of Allah, it says a woman was created with half a brain. Therefore, she is not capable of making a decision on her own, so she will always need a man to make a decision for her. That's on Surah An-Nisa, which you will hear me refer to Surah An-Nisa a lot, which is the woman in Quran, fourth surah. The reason I refer to it a lot is because within that surah, you'll be able to prove that there is no such a thing as equality between man and woman in Islam. And it's within Quran, so nobody hijacked it, nobody changed it. Now, based on that, Islamic countries, all of them, not hard to find out. All you need to do is use your computer or your smartphone, Google the laws in Islamic countries, and you will see that they are following the Quran and Sharia law and laws of the country. Because, let's say in my country, in Iran, a woman cannot basically do anything on her own. Now, just a side note is that when I refer to woman, I need you to know, if you don't know already, in Islam, when a girl turns 9, she's a woman. She counts as a full adult woman. So I'm not referring to, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s. Every time I say a woman, I am referring to any girl 9 and up. So basically, starting there, you do not have the right to register at the school unless your father or your husband, if you're married by then, give you authorization, written authorization to go register at a school. You do not have the right to go outside by yourself unless you have the authorization of your husband. You do not have the right to own a business. You do not have the right to have property or own properties and on and on and on. Any right that you can think of, you do not have it unless you have approval and authorization of a man figure, which is your father, if he's not around, your grandfather, from your father's side, and if you're married, your husband. So, a woman has a person. Now, other point that Quran mentions, or better yet, Allah says on Quran is, a woman was created for one purpose, and that was to please the man. So, woman is a property of a man. And because of that, one, word rape doesn't exist in Islamic countries, any of the Islamic countries, or Islamic societies, or Islamic families. Because when you are a property, you do not have the right to say no. So you're never forced. The other point, Quran says, a man is in control of the woman. And a good obeying Muslim woman is the one who will never question her man. That would include your father, your brother, your grandfather from your father's side, and your husband. You do not question them. You obey them. You do as they wish. Now, if you do not do those, your man has the right, by Quran again, on Surah An-Nisa, the woman has the right to beat you to the point you either die or you go back to obeying him. So these are some of the reasons I say Islam is an ideology, it's not a religion. Now, yes, we do, in the United States, we do have the freedom of religion. I respect that. But Islam is not a religion. Therefore, it should not go under that category of freedom. The reason I say this is I have been called many things. Racist, which is interesting, actually. I'm from Middle East. I don't know how I become a racist, but okay, I am. A bigot, Islamophobe, many other names. But in reality, what it is that 15 years of my life was taken from me under Sharia law in Iran. Okay, I survived. But now I'm here in the United States watching history repeating itself because we are sitting and saying, well, they're free to follow any religion they like. So my goal is to make you all realize that we should not give them that right. Because they're not following a religion. They are basically following a goal, which is to conquer. Again, within Quran, Allah says, you fight the unbelievers until there are none left. And there is a verse that says, Allah belongs to east, west, south, and north. Explanation behind that, if I break down all the Arabic words in it, is that everyone in this planet is born a Muhammadian, which means a Muslim follower of Muhammad, prophet. And I don't use that word, I'm just saying what Quran says. And now if you have a different faith, if you're following a different religion, therefore you turn your back to Islam, which automatically makes you a non-believer. So you are either going to convert back to your roots of Islam or you will be killed in the name of Allah. You see, I'm not trying to stop people from following their religion. I have nothing against faith. But however, I have a lot against Islam. There is this argument that, well, Islam is not against other religions. I have heard people, Muslim people, I don't think I can recall her last name, but her first name is Sabah something. I have seen her in many different news channel videos, conferences, and she is fighting for Sharia law, trying to prove as a woman that there is nothing wrong to be a woman under Sharia law. And one of the things she always says is that I have friends who are Christian, I have friends who are Jewish, and I have no problem with them, and my religion and my book doesn't tell me to have problem with them. Okay? Now, if you can, if you have a Quran, great. If not, there is a website I always refer everyone to. It's Quran.com with a Q, Quran.com. It has the entire Quran in there with the translation of Sahih International, which is the best, closest, and most simple translation of Quran there is. If you go in there on Surah 9, verse 30, it says, the Jew says, Ezra is the son of Allah. And the Christian says, the Messiah is the son of Allah. That is their statement from their mouth. They imitate the saying of those who disbelieved before them. May Allah destroy them. Who are they deluding? This is the explanation of Jews and Christians in Quran, 9th Surah, verse 30. May Allah destroy them. Right? And then we go to Surah 5, verse 51, where it says, you who have believed, do not take the Jews and the Christians as allies. Okay, that's as clear as it gets. You are ordered as a believer not to take Jews or Christians as allies. It doesn't say unbeliever. It specifically names Jews and Christians, and it tells you not to take them as allies. One of the reasons I ask almost everyone, I know it's a lot of work. I know we all have busy lives, but I always ask everyone, forget about what you hear. Forget about what people say. Forget about debates. Get your hands on a Quran and read it. Because when you do, verses like these will tell you who's telling the truth. It will tell you that your neighbor, who is Muslim, and is friends with you, is having coffee with you, coming and going, being nice, is either not a real Muslim or is using taqiyya, or other word for it is social jihad, which I will get to those later, to trick you. Either way, you will have a better idea of what you're dealing with. Right? I always try to bring in key verses to my programs, to my videos, because I know, as I said, I know we're all busy. We may not have the time to sit and read through this whole Quran thing to realize what's what. But educating ourselves is the key to make sure we are not about to lose our freedom. Now, to the point of, again, so-called moderate versus extremist Muslim. Allah has a message for them. You see, I made a video a while ago on my Facebook saying that when it comes to it, and if they're called to jihad, they will join, even the peaceful one, because if they don't, they will not go to heaven. They will not be good soldiers of Allah. I was questioned again. So, again, Surah An-Nisa, the woman, 4th Surah of Quran, verse 95 says, those believers who stay at home except the disabled are not equal as the Mujahideen. Mujahideen in Arabic means the people who are fighting for jihad, for Allah. They're not equal because Allah has preferred the Mujahideen or soldiers of Allah through their wealth and their lives over those who remain behind by degrees. So if you're a good Muslim staying at home, not joining jihad, not killing the unbelievers, well, you're not in the category of what Allah prefers. Now, again, what is the phrase? Islam is a religion of peace. Yeah, now let me tell you this. A religion that's based on Allah that orders his people to just kill and slaughter cannot be peaceful. I don't care how you put it. There are so many verses. I don't want to bore you all with just keep reading verses of Quran, but there are so many verses that you can read and you will see Allah directly orders Muslims to kill, to slaughter, convert or kill, convert or kill. That you will have enough proof that Allah is not peaceful, therefore the religion coming from it cannot be peaceful. Now we go to Muhammad, the prophet of this so-called religion. As anything you read about him, the reality, the lies, history of Islamic countries or history that's being taught to our children today in the United States, you will see the pattern. All he did was kill, I have no idea how many wives. The youngest, Aisha, as I'm sure you all heard of her, at age six. That's the prophet of this religion, and that's the Allah or God of this religion. I would like to know how a decent person, how an adult with a full brain can call this a peaceful religion. Now, there are so many countries, as I said, that are following Islam and they are Islamic countries. Now, I normally talk about Iran for two reasons. One, I do not like to talk about something unless I have facts, like Islam and Quran. And because I was born and raised in that country, I do have more than enough facts. I know the constitution of the country. I know the books, I know the rules, I know the laws. The second reason is because I always say the Shia Muslims are more dangerous than Sunni people. So that's why I keep going back to Iran and I talk about Iran. Iran, however, as I said, it's not so hard to get your hands on information on constitution of other Islamic countries or laws of other countries, which at the end of the day, you will come to see the same pattern on all of them because they all follow Islam. They all basically follow Quran. And I don't care how many people are going to stand here and say Islam was hijacked. I just gave you a couple of examples from Quran, and I named the surah and the verses so you can go read for yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is John Wolf DeVere, and I am taking the Take Back America Challenge. What is the Take Back America Challenge? Well, the Take Back America Challenge is taking back the love, the honor, the respect, the integrity that comes with being a proud American. Is this taking back America for the right or for the left or for the liberal or the conservative? No. It's taking back America for Americans. You see that flag flying over my shoulder, folks? That flag is flying because of the last breath of every man and woman whom ever served, whom is serving, and whoever will serve.
Hello, my name is Inez Annie Cyrus, and this is my Take Back America Challenge.
Hello, my name is Jeff Sharp, and this is my Take Back America Pledge.
This is Tina Waterworth, and I am accepting the Take Back America Challenge.
This is David Hansen.
And once again, I'm taking the Take Back America Challenge.
Ben Waterworth, and I'm going to do the Take Back America Challenge.
My name is Julie, and this is my Take Back America Challenge.
My name is Chase, and this is my Take Back America Challenge.
My name is Colin Walker, and this is my Take Back America Challenge.
My name is Eve Waterworth, and I am glad to be doing the Take Back America Challenge.
My name is Gavin Walker, and this is my Take Back America Challenge.
My name is Joyce, and this is my Take Back America Challenge.
My name is Stephanie Walker, and this is my Take Back America Challenge.
Please repeat after me. Place your hands over your hearts. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hi, my name is Caden Walker, and this is my Take Back America Challenge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I like classy men.
I like a man who is into sports.
I like athletic men.
I like a man who is fun.
I like classy men.
I like smart
men. I like a man who's trendy.
I like a muscular man.
I like clever men.
I like a man who is sensual.
I like a man who's well-dressed.
I like a man who is well-dressed.
I like a man who is well-dressed.
I like a well-dressed man.
ModaItaly.com, Italian fashion made affordable.
ModaItaly.com.
All proceedings are donated to FPC Radio.
You are listening to FPC Network. Make sure to tune in every Monday for Operation Reintegration, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every Tuesday, The Wolf Den at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Every Thursday, Patriot Pride at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Every Friday, The Sharp Edge, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every Saturday, Live Up to Freedom at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And every Sunday, The Rebel Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Call in at number 929-477-3101 and make sure to follow us on Facebook at FPC Network.
Within every moment is the possibility to experience the feeling of oneness and connection that is love. When we take a moment to close our eyes and take a breath, we can feel the connection to the air outside and around us as it enters our body and becomes us. Every one of us is connected to the world in this way. We are deeply connected to each other in this way too. When we feel close to someone, we feel love, despite distance or time. When we feel connected to someone, we are experiencing love.
She's buried, chest high. Her arms can't stop the stones that fly or wipe the tears that have already dried for a crime she so persistently denied. She's buried, chest deep. The moderate's asleep, no matter how hard she weeps, worth half a man, her testimony's cheap. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come up with such a fair rule. Dictators of history couldn't be so cruel. Told by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, teaching us Allah's divine referendum. What becomes of those who have a sip of rum, drinks to forget or wants to be numb, or those who play a game of chance, poker buddies escaping the religious trance? Allah's prescribed in his merciful script, their flesh be ripped, their blood be dripped at the tip of a Muslim's whip. She's buried chest high. Her arms can't stop the stones that fly or wipe the tears that have already dried for a crime she so persistently denied. And this is Allah's eternal reply. 1400 years of backwards law, a tragic flaw of the primitive claw. The tribe of homosexuals, kom lut as they say, Sharia is clear on how they should pay. The price for their gay display, life doesn't matter which way. Abu Bakr got them with a tumbling wall. Ali, Muhammad's cousin and son-in-law, had people burned for their sexual call, an entire village, children and all. She's buried chest deep, the moderate to sleep. No matter how hard she weeps, worth half a man, her testimony's cheap. Apostates, remember those who have bled, to speak the words Muslims leave unsaid, killed for the sake of those misled, submit now or be left dead. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come up with such a fair rule, the devil himself couldn't be so cruel. She's buried chest high, halfway deep, while the moderates are still fast asleep, while the world stands silent. Her testimony's cheap, stones thrown by religious sheep. Witches were burned long ago till the flame of freedom began to glow and we learned to say the word no. No. Know that your laws are unjust, not worthy of respect, only disgust, beheading those with a knife thrust. Oh, but in Allah we so blindly trust. She's buried head high in a heap of stones. No more crying, no more moans. All that's left is skin and bones. Allah has come up with such a fair call, the true justice of Sharia law.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Live Up to Freedom on FPC Channel. So, Iran is an Islamic country. It has been for the last 38 or 7 years. Islamic Republic of Iran. Now, in Iran, there are laws in the constitution that comes from Quran. When you open the constitution of Iran, at the very top, the first thing you see written in bold is, this is an Islamic country. Our constitution follows the laws of Islam, Quran, Prophet Muhammad, and Hadith of Imam Ali, which is the first Khalifa of Shia Islam. And then there are rules that are written by supreme leader of the country. Now again, they all come from Quran, but in Quran there are verses, there are places where Allah says, punish them by your judgment. So the supreme leader of the country is the person who will judge and tell what the punishment is. So those laws are made by supreme leader. And some of the laws in constitution are directly coming from Quran and Hadith and Muhammad and Ali. So I'm going to take this conversation back to where I said the worst thing that can happen to a woman is to be born under Sharia law. Now, already established that Quran says a woman is half a man, she has no rights, it's under control of a man, all that. Now, if I go to Constitution of Iran, laws of Iran, the one written by Khomeini, or as most of you know him by Khomeini, who was the supreme leader of Iran, he was the one who started the revolution, took over my country back in 1979, and he wrote the law, or original law, which is still to this day practiced in Iran. And he mentions the laws under Sharia law of Iran in marriage and divorce. I'm going to go over a couple of those quickly. You might hear a couple of pauses because I am reading off of the actual documents of Yuan, so it's in first. So it might take me a little bit of pause to translate, but I will try to give you a general idea. Now, when it comes to marriage, a girl can be married off at any age, from 5 hours after birth. 5 hours after birth. We're talking about a baby. If the father of that girl approves of the marriage, she can be married. 5 hours after birth. However, the man cannot sleep with her until she turns 9. Wow, that makes it much better. So don't sleep with the infant, sleep with the 9-year-old. And this is within the constitution of Iran. This is a law in Iran that there is no actual marriage age for girls. I hear almost all day everywhere, especially on Facebook, all the feminists fighting, screaming and yelling how much they don't have rights and they are suffering. For God's sake, listen to what I'm saying. You want to know what's the real meaning of war on women? Listen to what I'm saying. In an Islamic country, in an Islamic society, in an Islamic family, as a girl, you can be married within 5 hours after you were born. And your husband can start sleeping with you when you turn 9. And all of that is not in your hand. It all depends on your father. If he decide, he decided. Nothing you can do about it. Now, someone like me, I didn't like the idea. I didn't like the decision that was made for me. So what do? I escape. I run. But when I do that, I have to kiss goodbye whatever I have. Family, friends, memories, anything within that country is bye. Because when I left, I knew there is no way that someday I can go back to my country. Now, I do hate the regime. I hate the fact that my country is named Islamic Republic of Iran. But that doesn't mean that my country is bad, right? Now, if you're asking why did I have to kiss her goodbye, here's the law. Again, coming from Quran, if your wife does not obey you, you have the right to beat her to the point that she either obeys you or she dies. Same law in Iran. However, it's a little bit more modern, as they call it. So if your wife doesn't obey you, if she takes off and run, you have the right to sue her. When you do that, they will issue a stoning for her. So that applies to someone like me. You see, pretty much you're risking your life if you want to disagree with the decision that was made for you. Now, I want to know if anyone who's listening to me right now, if you're a woman, I want to know if you would ever want to leave in such a situation. And if you're a man, I want to know if you ever wanted your daughter to leave such a life. I'm pretty sure most of you probably... all of you said no. If that was your answer, I would say, please start standing up. Because if you think only men who were born in Iran, in Iraq, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Dubai, Saudi Arabia, those are the ones who are capable of being who they are today, no. My people weren't like this. Before the revolution, our men were not like that. fathers were not willing to sell their girls out. Same thing with other countries. But again, I always try to stick to my own country. The brainwash, the system of this ideology called Islam, turns anyone to a monster. Some people turn it into a coping mechanism, which means they have to do what they're told if they want to stay alive. So there will be a point where our children or generation after them will be brainwashed enough to follow, to turn into monsters you see today in Islamic countries. And yes, I call them monsters. Any man, any father who's willing to give away his daughter to money or anything at that age or any age is a monster. But they were not born a monster. They were brainwashed to this point. And yes, I know, we get angry. We all get angry and we think, no, no, that man was asking for it. He wanted to do this and that. I have witnessed people turn completely into extremists just because of the brainwashed torture. Let me give you an example. My mother was not born a Muslim at all. Actually, she used to love to sing and dance and, you know, do her hair and makeup and fun stuff. When I was 8 months old, she was taken into prison called Evin in Iran, E-V-I-N. I'm sure some of you might have heard of it. She was taken in for a crime of being affiliated or friends with a person who was friends with anti-regime people. Look at the connection. She is friends with the friends of anti-regime people. She was taken in. She was in there for almost 3 years. She came out when I was about four. And she was a different person. She came out a complete, extremely Muslim woman. She started teaching Quran. She started teaching women how to be a good Muslim wife. Ridiculous. I can't even explain how ridiculous it was. So you see, she wasn't born that way. She wasn't. 3 years in prison, the torture, they broke her down and they built her back up the way they wanted her to be. Now, that's just one example. I can name many names. Unfortunately, you probably wouldn't know any of them because Islamic Republic of Iran is very good at filtering what they're doing there, very good at hiding it. But there are so many people who just have no choice. See, you might think, well, I would die before I convert, or I would die before I bow to it. But someone like my mom, you know, she has family. She has a, you know, daughter out there. She prefers to survive, right? So she obeys. Now, moving on to the next law of marriage. So, as I said, number one, there is no age for the girl. Now, if a girl is, you know, all grown up after age of 18 and she decides to marry someone, you know, fall in love or if ever such a thing in Iran, she cannot get married. Again, she will need authorization of her father. She could be any age And I mean any age. You can be a 40-year-old woman and you still need your father's authorization to get married. If your father doesn't agree, well, sorry, no can do. And he needs to sign papers. It's not just he said, oh, yeah, honey, go get married. No, he's going to have to sign papers, written authorization. Now you get married. You know, either happy ending or not, it's the person you want to marry or not, it doesn't matter. It gets to the point, for whatever reason, it doesn't work out, you know. A lot of marriages don't work out. And you want to come out of that marriage. You can't. A woman doesn't hold the right to divorce. A man does. A man can divorce his wife at any point for whatever reason if he feels like it. He doesn't even need a reason. All he does, he goes to court, sign a paper saying, I'm not your husband anymore. Bye. Done. A woman cannot do that. I mean it seriously. A woman cannot do that. Unless she can prove that her husband is missing for 4 years. 4 years. If you're missing for 4 years, your wife can go and say, well, he's gone for 4 years. I don't know where he is. I tried to find him. He's not there. Then they will issue a divorce. Or if a woman can prove that her husband is not providing the basics. And now the basic is just a roof over your head, enough clothes to wear, enough food to not starve to death. These are the basics. If you can prove that he's not providing you with all of that, then you might be able, and again, here's what happens. The judge will give him time to either find a good job or change his mind and try to feed you. And if he comes and say the reason he's not providing for you is because you're not obeying him, then you're in trouble, not him. You will be in trouble for that. So if you're in a marriage, you're in a marriage. Either you like it or you don't like it. If you decided or somebody else decided for you, you're stuck, you're trapped, you're done. You can't walk away from it. Now, again, I ask you, do you still think there's a war on women in the United States? Because I'm pretty sure there isn't. Do you still really want to help women? Please do join me. Because there are so many women in the Middle East especially. They need help more than we do here. And there are so many women here in the United States. I know a few of them. They're stuck here too because they have seen other women try to escape. They were killed in the name of honor killing and the killer walked away free in the United States, in Canada, Europe, United Kingdom to be exact. So here you have it. This is your religion of peace. And it's growing fast, like there's no tomorrow. And the reason it's growing is because most of us are not doing what we're supposed to do. Now, forgive me for saying this, but I do always complain about this. I don't complain much, but about this one I do. Social media, Facebook. We have people. I actually have a personal grudge against Kardashian family because they come from Iranian background and they're doing a squad about their fellow Iranian woman. A picture of a boot come on their page and oh my, overnight it goes viral, 2 million shares. There are so many people who are talking, including myself. There's a roof for us. There's just so far we go. Therefore, not everybody knows what's happening. So when you don't know what's happening, you can't really do much about it, can you? Because there is other side, which is promoting Islam, teaching lies using taqiyya. I'm going to quickly explain taqiyya just in case if you don't know. Taqiyya is a tool given to Muslims by Quran, by Allah, by Muhammad that allows them to lie in order to either save their life. If they're in danger and they have to denounce Islam, they are allowed to do that. They will be forgiven. Second reason they can use taqiyya and lie about Islam, Allah, Muhammad, is if they are converting some non-believers. That's what taqiyya means. And I refer to it a lot because I see it daily. I literally see it daily. So they are using taqiyya and they're using their victim face. Oh my God, we are such a victim. People are attacking us. You know, Islamophobia. They're racist. Da 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 da. And we are actually buying into that whole, oh, you poor refugees who came here to have a better life, and someone like Aina Zani Cyrus is just giving you a bad name. No. I'm not doing that. I'm not saying 100% of them not refugees and trying to get a better life here, no. But I will say strongly, 7 out of 10 are actual soldiers of Allah trained to come here to bring their Islamic culture to our country. There are laws in Islamic Republic of Iran that, just thinking about it, makes me sick. Let's not even mention living under it, what that does to me. You see, there is this law written by Khomeini in the Book of Law in Iran that allows you to have sex with your wife's son, which would be your stepson, under age of 14, and you are fine. And your wife can find out, and she can't actually do anything about it, because remember, they don't hold the right to divorce, and you didn't do anything illegal, so she can't go and say, hey, you slept with my son. Now, there is this question that I get a lot, is that if in Islam, being gay is punished by death, then how come it allows having sex with young boys? Well, Islam says if the person is not mature or it's under age, legal age, which by Islam the girl is 9 and the boy is 14. Depends on the country, Shia or Sunni, it's 14 to 16. Then it doesn't have an actual sex. So it's not a boy or a girl. And please don't try to make sense out of this, because I can't and I know you cannot either. The only thing is, well, they're a bunch of pedophiles like Muhammad was. But basically, because that boy is not 14 yet, so he doesn't have a sex, so you're not sleeping with a boy. You're sleeping with a thing. And I don't know if I mentioned or not, but that's what Islam is. Islam is all about killing and having sex. Killing and having. Kill them and then go have sex. There's actually a verse in Quran where it says, after conquering and, you know, slaughtering all the men, then find a woman and rape them. Well, the word used is sleep with them, but I refer to it as rape them, as your reward for the victory of the war. What? Anyways, so back to that question. So basically it's okay to have sex with a boy, with a young boy, because it's not a boy yet. So it doesn't count as being gay. But if that boy is over age of 14 or 16, depending on the country and the type of Muslim country it is, then it becomes a gay relationship. So, boom, kill them both. So if you want to really put it, if I was about to put a name on this Islam thing, I wouldn't call it a religion of peace. I wouldn't call it a religion. I don't think even I should call it an ideology. I would say, you know, society of pedophile, crazy psychopath. That's what I was called. There is nothing in their book, their hadith, their Sharia law, their country laws, their imam laws. There is nothing in there except hate and sickening relationships. You know, it's just like all they care for is, well, yeah, number one is everybody has to be a Muslim. So that's number one, you know, kill them, convert, kill or convert, kill or convert. But then in daily basis, it's all just, you know, have sickening relationship with little girls, little boys, rape women or whatever your right hand possesses. All that is all you get. And trust me, you will get to the point of believing me, because every program I will bring more and more surah from Quran and more rules from Constitution of Iran and more verses from Hadith. I will read them until the point that I can convince everyone that this is what we're facing. And again, it's not that I'm saying let's all go to Middle East and save them. No, we can start from here. In United States, all the refugees, all the actual Americans who are converting to Islam, that's just, you know, every time I hear an actual American-born person, Christian, converted to Islam, I'm like, oh my, how can they do that? And I'm like, oh yeah, there's tequila. Because the person who converted them used tequila. And the person didn't bother to read the Quran before converting. It's a big book. Who's going to sit there and read it? Oh, come on. That takes a long time. So they just use the tequila. You know, I'm sure you have heard of the stories, you know, that the woman converts to Islam, married the man, and then realize how ridiculous it is, tries to escape, and he kills her. Or acid thrown on her face. Or half of her body is burned. I mean, I'm sure you, if you haven't, I will start posting those news on my Facebook page, and please feel free to go and read those. Thank you so, so very much for staying with us, for listening. Next week, same time, I will be with you. Stay safe, stay vigilant.
We need you to tell. Take off the mask, come out of your shell. Shame those cowards, send them all to hell. You are priceless, not theirs to sell. You are precious, with a lot to tell. To tell.